Chapter 2. In for Life. In legal parlance, Maine would be called a closely held corporation. Roughly 5% of its 2,000 employees owned the company. These were referred to as partners or associates, and their position was coveted. Not only did the partners have power over everyone else, but also they made the big bucks. Discretion was their hallmark. They dealt with heads of state and other chief executive officers who expect their consultants, like their attorneys and psychotherapists, to honor a strict code of absolute confidentiality. Talking with the press was taboo. It simply was not tolerated. As a consequence, hardly anyone outside Maine had ever heard of us, although many were familiar with our competitors, such as Arthur D. Little, Stone & Webster, Brown & Root, Halliburton, and Bechtel. I use the term competitors loosely because, in fact, Maine was in a league by itself. The majority of our professional staff was engineers, yet we owned no equipment and never constructed so much as a storage shed. Many Mainers were ex-military. However, we did not contract with the Department of Defense or with any of the military services. Our stock in trade was something so different from the norm that during my first months there, even I could not figure out what we did. I knew only that my first real assignment would be in Indonesia, and that I would be part of an 11-man team sent to create a master energy plan for the island of Java. I also knew that Einar and others who discussed the job with me were eager to convince me that Java's economy would boom, and that if I wanted to distinguish myself as a good forecaster, and to therefore be offered promotions, I would produce projections that demonstrated as much. "Right off the chart," Einar liked to say. He would glide his fingers through the air and up over his head. "An economy that will soar like a bird." Einar took frequent trips that usually lasted only 2 to 3 days. No one talked much about them or seemed to know where he had gone. When he was in the office, he often invited me to sit with him for a few minutes over coffee. He asked about Anne, our new apartment, and the cat we had brought with us from Ecuador. I grew bolder as I came to know him better, and I tried to learn more about him and what I would be expected to do in my job. But I never received answers that satisfied me. He was a master at turning conversations around. On one such occasion, he gave me a peculiar look. "You needn't worry," he said. "We have high expectations for you. I was in Washington recently." His voice trailed off, and he smiled inscrutably. "In any case, you know we have a big project in Kuwait. It'll be a while before you leave for Indonesia. I think you should use some of your time to read up on Kuwait. The Boston Public Library is a great resource, and we can get you passes to the MIT and Harvard libraries.